You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Welcome to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I feel like I'm being played on by a 70s action show. Like Starsky and Hutch could be... give me some other ones. What was it? Heart to Heart?
Heart to Heart was more 80s.
It's like a late 70s, early 80s situation. The Rookies, SWAT. You're pretty good at this. SWAT, T.J. Hooker, maybe.
Hooker was also 80s.
All right, well, so let's, that whole era, like 77 to 83. Well, in any event, it has me fired up. The Hulk, I could see that being played on the Hulk, which I actually watched an episode of the Hulk this past week. Already off on a tangent in the first minute. Welcome to Roto Experts in the Morning. I'm Mike Blewett, along with George Kurtz. We'll be taking you all the way through the next 2 hours, giving you the landscape for this weekend, breaking down everything that we need to break down regarding injuries, which is unfortunately a big part of the discussion as we are midway through the season. Pretty amazing, George, that we are all the way through 6 weeks and really looking at the halfway point here as we head to London yet again tomorrow.
That's right. Early game tomorrow, 9:30. Set your lineups.
That's right. So important for you to know that. For those that didn't realize that the Giants are playing the Rams in London, it became a bigger story that they were going to London mainly because of the domestic violence issue regarding Josh Brown, the Giants kicker, and the totality of the drama and missteps all the way around regarding that story. But we're here to talk about fantasy football, and certainly give us a call today with your lineup questions and any other types of questions you may have at 1-844-843-6879. That's 84FNTSY. Hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. We'll do some polls there today. Get folks interacting with us, and we'll interact with you as well. I'm at Mike Blewett. George is at George Kurtz. So, George, as I was going through it this week, obviously the London game is something that we really need to note because people don't often realize that they have to set their lineups before they wake up. In some instances, certainly on the West Coast, it's an early start. So we got some big games this week, some big NFL matchups, and clearly some big fantasy matchups. But as I was going through it, it's an exercise I go through every week to prep for these shows and to prep for the week in fantasy football. I'm going through the injury report, and part of it is because of the nebulous nature of the questionable tag. Now, in the past, there was a little bit more clarity between probable and questionable. Now everybody's lumped into questionable. There's a shocking amount of players that are listed as questionable. But really, this week, there's a ton of guys that are either questionable or out that people are going to have to scramble for, correct?
Yeah, I don't like this new tag because now anybody that's probable, they're just throwing out the questionable now.
Right.
I guess I get the NFL's logic. Oh, the 90% of the problem was played anyway, so let's get rid of that. But now teams are covering themselves. And also, it adds subterfuge. You know, Mike Blue's the coach of the other team. I'm going to list all my guys as questionable. He doesn't know who's playing.
Right.
You know, so it's silly. I like the probable tag better. At least you knew who was hurt and who wasn't, who was probably going to play. Now everyone seems to be 50-50.
Right.
And you're playing more guessing games than we'd prefer.
Yeah, this is for people in our industry, it has created far more confusion than it did. But as I was going through it, all of these players I listed, and some of these guys are questionable, some are out, some are game time decisions. LeSean McCoy and Robert Woods, Terrell Pryor, Tyler Eifert, Jordan Reed, Theo Riddick, Latavius Murray, Jamal Charles, Arian Foster, Steve Smith, Muhammad Wilkerson, Stephon Diggs, on the Colts, Dwayne Allen, Philip Dorsett, and Dante Moncrief, Travis Benjamin, Doug Martin, and Vincent Jackson, obviously now out for the season, Carlos Hyde, Deion Lewis, we still don't know what's going on there, Ben Roethlisberger, Marcus Wheaton, and Cam Hayward from the Steelers, Cam Chancellor, and Thomas Rawls still for the Seahawks, John Brown, who's diagnosed with the sickle cell trait this week, Will Fuller, not to mention the Rams defensive line is hurt, the Ravens are hurt all over defense, and the Saints are pretty much hurt all over the entire roster. So that's just one quick brief segment as to how many players are hurt, but clearly this is impacting lineups all across the league. What do you feel like, other than McCoy, which one are you really having to keep an eye on?
Well, you know, this is only going to get worse.
Yep.
You know, it may be halfway through the season, but it's only week 7. You know, these injuries are only going to mount up. These players are getting tired. They're getting banged up. So this is not surprising. And we're going to keep going through this week in and week out. You mentioned McCoy's out, more than likely out. Oh, so he went to questionable. The agent announces, Drew Rosenhaus, said he's questionable.
So this is one of the weirdest ones that I can remember, because he leaves practice with a hamstring injury on Wednesday, is out Thursday, declared out by some people, by, I put in air quotes, sources. The Bills didn't officially declare him out. Rex has always sort of...
Rex has done everything but declare him out.
Right. Rex tends to talk too much, and sometimes he gives away what he doesn't.
Rex?
He sometimes gives away what he doesn't want to give away, even when he's trying to be coy. But then we go 24 hours ago, and not even 24 hours ago, and McCoy practices in a limited fashion yesterday. If it's me, I'm guessing that McCoy's out. Hopefully you have Gillislee there to back him up. I actually have Gillislee in our Dynasty League, which we'll get to in the next segment, because we got to talk about it. Big week for me and you, buddy, by the way.
Why?
We're playing each other in Joe's Be Pros League.
Oh, should I know all this? Should I know these things?
All the Roto experts.
I never look who I'm playing.
All the Roto experts in the same league together, or 10 of us in the same league together, along with a couple of civilians, one of whom is Michael Cardano's son. And I started off miserably, but I've rebounded. I'm 3-3. I think you're in the same boat. And we are playing against each other. I had a good start on Thursday night with Randall Cobb, so we'll get into that a little bit. And that game in a second. But, again, you're going to have a lot of injury issues going into this week. Hopefully you've made some moves on the waiver wire in order to cover yourself. Mike Gillislee was very popular. San Francisco's backup running backs were somewhat popular, which
yay.
I really don't know what you're going to get out of those guys. Mike Gillislee is a legitimate option, though, because we have seen in small sample size him able to perform. And if McCoy was out, we don't expect the offense to change much at all. I think it increases the value of Mike Gillislee, clearly, and Tyrod Taylor to a certain extent. With Robert Woods out, Charles Clay is really your only dynamic receiving threat, if you can even call him that. Something to think about there. And what I would say is, going back to Randall Cobb's performance on Thursday night, a really strangely played NFL game, yet another Thursday night dud, in my opinion, but just a very high-volume passing attack with nothing really going downfield. Their running game was the really short, quick passing game. You got Ty Montgomery, Davante Adams, and Randall Cobb all with over 10 catches. You never see that in an NFL game.
No, it was weird. It was all short passes for A-Rod. Threw over 326 yards, I believe, on 56 attempts.
Yeah, just over 5 yards per pass.
5.8.
Yeah.
Not very good. It's surprising. They don't try too many downfield passes anymore. Jordy Nelson does not get separation anymore. Davante Adams had the big game, and that was frustrating. I have Adams in 3 or 4 leagues. Only start him in one.
Rodgers did miss Nelson on that crossing route where they got the big pass interference penalty. So I think you're right about Nelson. But he did have an opportunity there to score a long touchdown. I thought Rodgers missed him. What were you going to say about Montgomery?
No idea.
Yeah.
Lost my train of thought.
Sorry about that.
Montgomery was I was big on Montgomery. I wasn't big on Davis or Jackson. Not this week. There's no way Davis was going to have a good game. He just signed Monday morning. 2 days, you don't know the playbook. You don't have a system. And as we always say with more towards rookie running backs, you can't get on the field if you can't pick up the blitz. And there's no way Davis knew the blitz protection in 2 days.
Right.
So it wasn't a surprise though that we didn't see him. Jackson was a wild card. He knows the system, been on the practice squad, but we had no idea. The Packers didn't know what he could do. So that was going to be interesting. So I figured Montgomery would have a big game again, and he did. The only problem with Montgomery is, by the time they play again, 10 days, that goal line carry is not going to happen anymore. That will be Nile Davis. You know, he's the bigger back there, so I don't get to see that anymore. I like Montgomery's role going forward in PPR leagues. I think he will continue to catch passes, but probably not going to have a big deal as far as major runs.
Beyond that, Davante Adams, 13 catches for 132, 2 scores. Randall Cobb, 11 for 95 and a score. But the real issue there with Cobb, he had a really good game. Great game. In our PPR league that I'm playing against you, he had 28 points, but 2 additional touchdowns that he could have had. He dropped the first one.
And didn't get his feet in the second one.
And I thought he should have come down with the second one.
So I think should have had both.
Tough catch, but I thought he should have come down with it because he did snare it, and I thought He just kind of didn't know exactly where he was in the end zone. He allowed himself to get pushed out. Even in tight coverage, I think that's a catch that some of the elite wide receivers make every time. So
my guess is Cobb makes that catch 7 out of 10 times. Yeah. Why he didn't get his feet down there? And listen, if you're a Cobb owner, I'm a Cobb owner in 2 or 3 leagues.
Yeah.
Can you really complain about 26 points?
Of course not.
No, but it could have been 38.
Of course not.
And it should have been at least 32. That one's got to be caught.
You know, given these so it's a question that we're going to ask in the form of a poll at some point this morning. Probably in the next segment, we'll fine tune exactly how we put it out. But what I really wanted to ask you, George, is, you know, just to wrap up before I ask your question, to wrap up the Bears-Packers, nothing really happens on the Bears' side. It's a really miserable quarterback situation. Matt Barkley couldn't have been worse.
My guess is that thumb of Jay Cutler is going to heal real quick.
I would imagine he'll be good to go. They couldn't run. They couldn't pass. I mean, Kadeem Carey, actually, I think he outsnapped.
He looked good when he was in there, but no one's a player right now until they get a quarterback.
He outsnapped Jordan Howard. 10 carries for 48 yards and a catch for 9 yards. So 11 touches there, only 7 for Howard. Like George said, I think you can expect Jay Cutler to be back in the lineup. It's a speculation, but frankly, we're at a point where Cutler was already expected to be back from that thumb injury, but Hoyer had thrown for 300.
Remember when he was questionable for week, whatever, that game against Dallas? Week 3? He was just questionable.
Exactly. Your starting quarterback throws for 300 yards every week. You're not going to get your job back, especially in a situation where the Bears are in, where they're probably going to move on from Cutler at the end of this season. So, beyond that, I think we got to continue to look at that Packers passing attack as ball control until they are able to figure out exactly what they want to do with the running game. To your point, Jackson and Davis, can they at least wrestle some of those carries away from the wide receivers? It's an odd thing
Davis
to be talking
will.
About.
I think Davis will. Jackson got hurt early on. We don't even know what he can do. Injured the hand, so he had a big wrap on it. They don't think there's anything serious there.
Right.
Starks will be back 3 weeks, which is just muddle that situation even more.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be a nightmare going forward.
And the funny thing about the Packers is everything we say about them is we're sort of scratching our heads and we're confused and they're not that great and what's happening to Aaron Rodgers. They're 4-2. They're right in the thick of the playoff mix, and they could very well be on their way to another playoff berth despite not looking all that great. I think there are some holes on this team, and if we project it out, I think you and I both had them missing the playoffs. So,
no, I didn't, actually.
You had them in?
I had them in.
So, so we'll see. As we careen towards the midway point of the season, the Packers, despite not looking great, are 4-2, and they're in a division with the Bears. Vikings are in front of them, but Bears and Lions are not world beaters. So, all right, so the question I wanted to ask you is related to Cobb in some way, but just give it some thought, and to those of you listening at home or wherever you happen to be listening to us, feel free to give us a call on this or tweet at us. Again, it's 844-843-6879. That's 84FNTSY. Is Cobb one of the guys that you expect big things from in the second half of the season? Because I think there's been some guys that have been kind of disappointing through these first 6-7 weeks, and now we're going to try to turn the page in the second half of the fantasy season. Is there anybody that you expect to break out? Maybe a guy that has been underperforming so far, and either you've seen their schedule or you feel like, you know what, this can't last all that long. Anybody, like, would you think Randall Cobb, now he's back on track? Is this a guy that you
want? He's had 3 good weeks in a row. I think this is that time's already passed. I think he's fine.
Right.
I think he'll be okay. I'm not so much worried about Cobb. Maybe worried about guys like Dez Bryant. What does he do when he comes back next week? Is he going to be Vidaz where he was a top 5, 6, 7 wide receiver coming in? Or is he Vidaz who wasn't doing that much anyway? Because the Cowboys don't throw the ball deep all that much. So you wonder someone like him. Beckham's also broken out now, so he's out of this category. Other guys you might look at here, Todd Gurley.
Yep.
Is he ever going to return the value of, what, top 3 running back? Some people have top 1. Yep. Some people had Gurley, Johnson, Elliott, or Elliott, Johnson, Gurley, or whatever it was. But some people had it top things. So is he going to return that value?
Our DFS guys like Gurley for tournament plays this week. The Giants are 9th against the run, I think, against opposing fantasy running backs. But there's just a feeling that he could potentially break out this week.
Well, isn't that the situation every week?
Yeah.
You know, the problem is the passing game is better, or it's getting better. right? Kenny Britt's now broken out a little bit. We're saying Brian Quick have a good game. Saying Austin, so they're not terrible in the passing game anymore.
Do you think that's a result, though, of everything that you talked about leading up to this season
about
Gurley? There's nobody trying to cover him. Everybody's one-on-one coverage.
Everybody's one-on-one. The opportunity should be there to have, because everyone's going to shut down Gurley until you can prove you can beat them in the past. The question is, have they proven it now?
Right.
Our team's going to back off and play a more, you know, legit defense, not sell out to stop Gurley. I'm curious to see what the Giants. The Giants have a good secondary. It's the other parts of the defense that have some problems. So do they trust that? Maybe still go one-on-one, put eight in the box, stop Gurley? It should be interesting to see what the Giants do tomorrow. For me, I don't think Case Keenan can beat me. I'm still stopping Gurley.
Right. Yeah, I think a lot of people, I think the Giants still sell out to try and stop Gurley. So, so again, that game kicks off tomorrow at 9:30 Eastern. So get those lineups in. You know, your Eli Manning folks. I don't know who you'd be starting him over or benching him for, but it's something you need to consider before you go to sleep tonight. Most likely, you got Gurley. You got a maelstrom of Giants running backs that you really don't want to use. You have Odell, Sterling Shepard, a couple other guys.
I got a question for you, Mike.
Sure.
Now that Beckham's all broken out,
yeah,
you worried about Cruz and Shepard now? Because now Beckham's got to get those targets.
Probably more Cruz than Shepard. Me, if I'm worried about one guy in particular. It does worry me with Shepard some. But I think ultimately we haven't seen the Giants been able to run anything consistently. No. I think they'll just use Shepard in the ball control passing attack when they can. And I just think it hurts Victor Cruz. Now, if you were to tell me that the Giants are going to be one of these teams to kind of figure it out, and then they'll have that up-tempo passing attack or volatile explosive passing attack is really the word I'm looking for this second half of the season, I could buy that. But I've been worried more about their offensive line than anything else, right? Eli not having time to throw. I think despite the fact that it's several weeks ago, I thought it was very enlightening what happened against the Vikings.
I think it's affected Eli, too.
Yeah, because Eli, during that game, you saw some things from Eli that it basically, and I'm not saying this in a particular negative towards Eli, but I think you saw him scared a little bit. Literally throwing the ball into the dirt, dumping it off whenever he could, and it eliminated the best part of their offensive attack. And so I just wonder if Eli's still of the mindset that this offensive line can't get it done against some of the better pass rushes. Luckily for them, the Rams' defensive line is very banged up. Aaron Donald will probably create
havoc.
All on his own, but Michael Brockers is out. Robert Quinn is questionable, and from reading what I've read about him, seems unlikely to play. He could still play, but again, something to consider. The Rams very banged up. Tremaine Johnson, their top corner, is out. He'll be out for a couple of more weeks. So again, they are pretty banged up defensively. The Rams playing better than I think we anticipated, but this may be a tough one for them to adjust to going on the road in London and then having to deal with all these injuries at the same time. So we will get to all of our games. We're going to talk a little bit about George and I's matchup in the Joe's B Pros League, talk a little bit about how George doesn't even talk about it. You're 6-0 in the Dynasty League that we're in together.
No idea.
I have no idea how.
It's the opposite. Yeah. Usually I'm somebody gets screwed. I have 1,000 points, but yet I can never win a week.
Your team's pretty good, though.
It's really not.
It's pretty
good. I'm still rebuilding. I have 3 number 1 picks, Nick. I'm rebuilding. I'm planning to rebuild.
Well, that's good. You've done it in the right way.
I won last week with 175 points.
Well, that's lucky.
I'm getting lucky.
That's smoke and mirrors. But 6-0 is 6-0.
By the way, I don't know who I'm playing this week, but there's a gift win for you. I have no receivers left.
There you go.
They're all so, hurt.
Okay. And we'll talk a little bit about George's article that he had, his most recent article on rotoexperts.com, which you can find in the exclusive Edge package. He writes every week about which defenses you can pick on, ranks them 1 to 30 this week since 30 teams are playing. We'll talk a little bit more about these games one by one. London, Pats, Steelers, Chargers, Falcons, a lot of other big games to talk about on the slate. It's Mike and George on Roto Experts in the Morning on Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Theme continues on Roto Experts in the Morning. Mike Blewett along with George Kurtz until 10 a.m. Do you enjoy news but hate reading? then the FNTSY News Desk, sponsored by the Daily News, is for you. Plug in and zone out as all of the day's top fantasy sports headlines and stories are relayed to you by our experts, Tony Cincotta and Adam Ronis. Join us on air at 6 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2:30 p.m., or listen at your own convenience by visiting us on demand at fntsy.com/radio or downloading the Fantasy News Desk on iTunes. Everything you need to know to win, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And that's what we're here doing today for the next 2 hours. George and I until 10 o'clock, breaking down game by game, talking about exactly what it is we need to fill you in on for the week. Those injuries are a killer. I get it. I'm dealing with it the same as you are. But I want to talk a little bit about George and I facing off. Let's see. I know this isn't necessarily relevant to everybody, but just to show you that George and I are in the mix, just like you folks are, I got off to a really good start playing George. It's a 12-team PPR league. George and I are George is 2-4. I'm 3-3. But I've been scoring a ton of points since I got Tom Brady back, and my wide receivers kind of righted the ship. Randall Cobb is one of them. Amari Cooper, the other. So, George Brady going against Breeze. I kind of like both matchups, but Breeze on the road, probably not your favorite matchup after he dropped like 50 in some leagues last week.
I'm trying to find what league this is here. Oh, okay, I got it. Oh, this is one of the leagues I'm getting screwed in. Nice. That's right. Yeah, I'm in ninth place, yet I have top 4 points. Yeah, I love that. But like I said, it evens out. The other league, I should not be 6-0.
Right.
So, okay, I got it now. Yeah, I'm not. I may not start Breeze. Is that one of the leagues I have Derek Carr in? I think it is, and I'm debating. That's the Saints are not the same team on the road as they are at home.
You have Derek Carr.
Yeah, I have Derek Carr. So I'm debating here if I should pull Carr. If I should pull Breeze for Carr. Carr is a better matchup against the Jaguars. I expect points to be put on the board there. I look at the Saints this way. They are not the same team on the road as they are at home. We all know that. They're not the same team against average defenses on the road, more or less a good one. KC, one of the better road play home place to play. Tough place to play for a road team there.
That's right.
So I've been debating this because I think I had the same thing in two leagues. Breeze Carr. Right now I have Breeze in there. But, Mike, don't be surprised if Carr's in there by game time Sunday.
All right. So I can't believe I'm off to as good a start as I am because it really was like a Thursday night decision as to whether or not I'd play Cobb or Snead. But because of the
issues.
That
was anywhere near a decision for you?
Yeah, just because of all the issues going on with the Packers.
You didn't need to be slapped if you went with Snead.
Well, yeah, I went with Cobb, so I'm good.
Easy decision. Yeah. Easy.
I know. I liked it when I really sat.
Cobb's been good three straight weeks now.
I know.
People are panicking about him. No reason to panic about him.
I know. I love Randall Cobb.
So do I, bud. I'm not mad. I had Cobb in three leagues. I can't complain about the 28 points he got you.
I feel like in that league, I'm always having a wide receiver debate. You know, Cooper and Fitzgerald are always in the lineup, but it's been a Jeremy Maclin, Randall Cobb, Willie Snead. Who do I use for the receiver? Who do I use for the flex kind of thing? Because I have literally no running backs after Todd Gurley and Tevin Coleman, which is a great starting two. But if one of those guys gets hurt, I'm done for the year. So beyond that, you have DeAndre Hopkins going up against Denver. It's about as bad a matchup as Hopkins is ever going to see.
I'm not winning this week.
Especially now that it's so frustrating to see DeAndre Hopkins being used the way he's been used.
But isn't that what we always worry about?
Yeah.
When you have a new quarterback, you don't know who he's going to gravitate to. It hasn't been the Hopkins. He's been staying away from the matchup for whatever reason. Either he has no chemistry with Hopkins, he doesn't like the cornerback that's on Hopkins, doesn't like the coverage. Maybe he'll safety over the top a lot. And he's been going in the other direction. This is not a surprise.
You know what was kind of crazy at the end of that Monday night game? You know, a lot of people were invested in it. When they were down 14, they made the comeback. Osweiler looked really good.
He did.
He made a huge throw to Fedorowicz, and they came back from 14 down in a game where they had no business coming back. They were playing terribly before that.
It's I think we see this with, once again, a lot of young quarterbacks. They have good spurts every now and then, good quarter. He had a good quarter, had a lousy first three quarters. You know, you wonder, okay, is he turning the corner? You know, maybe yes, maybe no. I mean, what are you going to do with Osweiler? If you're not starting this week anyway, it's Denver. Actually, I don't want to start anybody. I really don't want to start Hopkins. I have no choice here.
Yeah.
But I'm not thrilled about starting Hopkins.
Yeah.
You know, I don't expect big things. When I say I'm going to lose to you, well, you got 28 points there. Hopkins, bad matchup. Edelman's done nothing. Breeze and Cooks, bad matchup.
I want to pause on Edelman for a second. This week could be a breakout week, could always be a breakout week. Are you completely concerned about him, or you just feel like as when Brady gets back into a groove, Edelman will be his...
Brady's in the groove.
I'm
He's
saying,
not the problem. Edelman's the problem. I think he's hurt. I think there's something wrong there. He doesn't have the burst off the line of scrimmage, or maybe out of his cuts. Something is wrong with Edelman, because right now for me, now he's starting for me in this league. I don't have anybody else I really could put over him, although I'm giving Bolden serious consideration here against that Washington secondary.
Yeah.
But I think Edelman right now is, if you're a deeper wide receiver than I am, you could sit him until he does something. And it was kind of, I have in so many leagues, like 3 or 4 leagues, another player I banked on that's done nothing, that where even if he had if I sat him this week and he had a big week, you know, let's say he had the same thing as Cobb, 26 points, I wouldn't complain. That's a good thing. Okay, I didn't get the points, but now I know for the rest of the year I can start him, he's back.
Yeah.
But right now, it's every week he's getting 7 points, 8 points. He's doing very little. I think
somebody dropped him in one of my leagues.
Can't do that.
Right.
I can bench him. I can't drop him.
So I went through the activity report, and I saw somebody dropped him. So I'm cutting Mike Wallace in favor of Julian Edelman.
So would I.
Yeah. So the other guys I could cut there are like Beasley, Tyler Boyd. It's a keeper league, so I'm kind of trying to hang on to Tyler Boyd as a later pick, even though he's not doing anything. It's that weird. Like, clearly Mike Wallace is having a much better season than Tyler Boyd. But Tyler Boyd, I picked in like the 14th round. I can have him as an 11th next year. Maybe I should just get rid of him. But I've never been a big believer in Mike Wallace anyway. He's the type of guy I'd rather just have off the roster, and I don't want to have to worry about it anymore. You know what I mean? He'll have a couple of breakout weeks, and I'll always start him at the wrong time, and I'll bench him at the wrong time. So I'm done with it. Hopefully I'll get Edelman through this waiver wire, although I don't see it. I don't know why the person cut him. I'd rather have Edelman than a lot of
others. We see that in a lot of leagues. People get upset.
Yeah.
And they cut people they shouldn't cut. Yeah. I have no problem you're not starting him. Bench him.
Right.
But don't cut him. I mean, it's still early in the season. He might get healthy. Like, things might take
off. How good is your team that you're upgrading a guy that caught 100 passes?
I'd like to know his other receivers. Or he has no other dead spots on his roster? She?
Right, right.
They?
So, yeah, that's right. They's a good way to go there, because I don't even remember who it was. So, I'll give you some props here. Your Dynasty League that we're in, George and I are in, it's 32 teams, 16 team conferences. So George plays in one conference, I play in the other. The players match up. You draft into the pool of the conference only. So it's not quite as thin as the 32 teams, but still, there's a 16-team league, and we have 45-man rosters, 5 of which are rookies only. George is 6-0, and he has been rebuilding basically since we started the league 5 years ago. I've been really successful in this league, but I'm not 6-0, and George is with Derek Carr, Sam Bradford, Jimmy Garoppolo, pretty solid. Jay Ajayi, Devontae Freeman, Melvin Gordon, Jeremy Hill. Dude, that's not rebuild. You got better running backs than I do.
I've been building up my running backs.
Yeah,
look at my receivers. There's the problem.
Yeah, Aguilar, Coates, Funchess, Green, Janice. That's terrible. Alshon Jeffery and Robert Woods.
And the other reason I have Jeffery is I made a trade with Tony Sincotta last year.
Ryan Griffin, Jordan Reed. That's a killer there. And then we use individual defensive players. Joey Bosa has actually been pretty good out of the gate. One good week, one not so good week. You got Jadeveon Clowney, who's been playing better. Sean Lee is the star of the show here. And Reggie Nelson, a guy that was just about to retire, is back here. He's putting up big numbers here for the Raiders secondary. So I just wanted to highlight that because I give you props. Even in a rebuilding year, you're doing all right and in first place and probably headed towards a playoff berth if they can just hold it together there. If you get a couple of people healthy at the wide receiver position or maybe even position for a trade. In my league, there are such huge trades that for the first time in a while, I feel like I might miss the playoffs. I don't think I've missed the playoffs in this league yet, but I think this year it might happen because guys got Andrew Luck. Guys made huge trades to jump over me from a total talent perspective. But enough about George, enough about me. Wanted to talk quickly about a couple of games. Rams-Giants, we talked a little bit about that. It's another London tilt. It's the first time they're playing in this stadium, Wickenham Stadium. It's a famous rugby stadium. And we saw a great game out of Case Keenum last week. You and I just talked about they're probably going to stack the box, leave it open for Keenum again. Do you like Keenum's chances against what you said earlier was a decent Giants secondary? It's been a little banged up, but I think they're okay going into this week.
I've got to start him in a league. One of the deep leagues you and I play in. I think it's that one of those fan tracks, like the 40,
yes,
whatever, the
yes,
gazillion.
Yes, yes.
And I lost Roethlisberger, my backup is Romo, and now I got to start Keenum. I think I picked up Kessler, too, so I might start Kessler instead. But Keenum and Kessler, that's my choice for tomorrow. I'd let you know how much trouble I'm in that league. Ben Roethlisberger was a kid.
So stat yesterday, Cody Kessler has the lowest percentage of bad throws in the NFL thus far this year.
Does that give me fantasy points?
He's been okay. He's been salvageable. in fantasy.
Yay, thanks, Cincinnati. That's a tough one. Keenan or Kessler, that's not going to be easy.
Nope.
Actually, my decision's easier. If Terrell Pryor can't play tomorrow, well, there you go. Okay. I probably will end up going with Keenan because it's a 9:30 game. I'm not going to have a chance to wait until game time for Cleveland. The Giant game, I'm not expecting a high-scoring game here at all. You mean Wickenham Stadium, England, is it going to rain? A lot of rain there? Is that field chewed up? So it's not going to be a fast track. That would worry me some as well. I'm not touching any of the Giant running backs right now. I don't want any of them. Maybe, Rainey, you could talk to me into it in a deep PPR league. You need somebody in the flex. I could see it. But other than that, I'll pass on all those guys. It's really only Eli. I think Eli is startable. He's in my top 12. I'll start Eli. Beckham, of course, is a must-start for me every week. And I'm staying away from Shepard and Cruz. I don't want a part of either one of them. I am forced, I think, to start Will Tye because, once again, I'm desperate for a tight end there. For the Rams, I'm starting Gurley. No choice. No, I don't want to start Keenum no matter what I have to do, and that's about it. I'll think about Kenny Britt, but I don't like the – I think he is a pickup this week.
I was just about to ask you about Kenny
Britt. But I don't like the matchup this week.
Yeah, so looks like tomorrow – I'm looking at the weather for tomorrow. I'm not seeing any rain there in London. It looks like about 54 degrees cloudy, so that's a typical fall day here in New York, and it'll be the same conditions in London. So certainly a far cry from what it looks like in L.A., but, you know, for Rams, it's kind of a road trip anyway for the Rams, so that shouldn't be any big shock. So we'll see how that one plays out. Again, it's really there's not the depth of fantasy, plethora of fantasy options in this game, as you will see in some of the other ones that we'll go over. But Odell, you're hoping for yet another big contest there. Our DFS guys are like Kenny Britt, like Odell, and this I say our DFS guys, you go to dailyroto.com for all the best information on daily fantasy sports. It's something I listen to, podcast articles, strategy articles, each and every week, sort of helps me with my DraftKings and FanDuel lineup. So they like Odell there in tournaments and Kenny Britt as a value option in tournaments. So moving on to the next game on the slate, I'm bouncing around a little bit, so it's not based on time of the games. I think it's just really a highlight of the importance of the games from a fantasy standpoint. Pats, Steelers, how does Ben's loss impact the Steelers?
Well, listen, do we need to say the stat over and over again? Yes, Antonio Brown's never caught a touchdown pass from anybody other than Ben, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. That's going to end. Maybe not tomorrow, but it will end. I don't see him going the next 4 to 6 weeks or 4 to 6 games without a touchdown catch. So, that being said, Landry Jones, ugh, not a pickup. If you're thinking, oh, he'll be just as good as Ben or somewhere near close to Ben, that's not going to happen.
Nope.
That game tomorrow smells like a blowout now for me. Le'Veon Bell's going to get a lot of touches. D'Angelo Williams is out, for what it's worth.
Yep.
In all honesty, though, if you have D'Angelo Williams, unless you're a Le'Veon Bell owner, move on. What are you hoping for here? You're praying for an injury? Would you do that at any other position for anybody else? Probably not. Move on. Grab some depth someplace else.
I'm actually in that position right now. I've been trying to trade D'Angelo Williams to the Le'Veon Bell owner for a couple of weeks.
If they're not biting, move on.
And that's it.
So he serves no purpose now. They don't use him at all. And we knew that going in. It's what their history was.
Yeah.
They use one back, and they're going to beat that back to death. Yeah. And you and I discussed this, I believe, in the training camp. Bell may not be there next year.
Right.
So they can beat him to death all they want. They don't have to worry about long term if they don't want to pay him $14 million a year, whatever it's going to cost to keep him.
He's such an incredible weapon. It would be...
He is, but I wonder if they're thinking he's great. Bell's great. But Williams is really good in that role, too. I know Williams is not there long term, but are they thinking, why am I going to pay $14, $16 million a year for a back when I can sign one or draft one or whatever? And they'll be pretty good, too. We've proven that it's the system, not the back.
Yeah.
I wonder if they believe that. And salary cap era-wise, you know, we generally don't pay running backs in the NFL nowadays. So I wonder if they're leaning that direction as well. This is more talk for the offseason, but I wonder if that's what direction they might go. And like I said, they're going to run Bell to death.
Yeah.
You know, and it's most teams do that with their running backs. Look at the Cowboys, Elliott doing the same thing. Oh, we're going to split. Yeah, no, it doesn't happen.
Right.
Bell's a must start for me. I'm not starting anybody else. I mean, nobody else. I don't want coach.
I mean, not only does Landry Jones come in, and we've seen him. He was miserable during the preseason, by the way.
He's
and
a below average.
Yeah.
Even for a backup, he's below average.
Yeah, exactly. So the Steelers' hopes and dreams are pinned to one guy in particular more than anybody else. As good as Le'Veon Bell is, as good as Antonio Brown is, when the QB is out.
Well, Brown starts me as well, by the way. I meant nobody else other than the stars. No,
right.
Jesse James, no coach, no. Oh, I think Wheaton's out anyway.
Wheaton is out.
So I said, Jesse James is not a play for me here.
Steelers are still banged up on D, too, so flipping over to the Pats side.
Steelers are a bad defense.
They weren't a good defense, and now they're banged up. They've had Shazier has been hurt. Cam Hayward is out again. They got a couple of defensive backs that are banged up, so they're going up against Tom Brady, who...
Here comes 40 points, boys and girls.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the Steelers are in a really tough spot here. I don't care that it's a home game for them. I think the Pats come in and do what the Pats do.
Who are you not starting? You starting Bennett?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have me in top 12?
Yeah.
So do I. Bottom end of top 12, but I have him in top 12. James White starts, Blunt starts. I mentioned Edelman only if you're deep. If you're not deep, you start him. I told him, in the leagues I have him, I mean, I really don't have a decision here. I have to start him. But you might have gone wide receiver crazy, and you might have four top 20 guys. In that case, I could sit Edelman.
Yeah.
But I don't really want to because I think 40 points aren't coming.
What about like Hogan?
That's the other thing. I like Hogan as well here, but he's sort of a hit or miss guy.
Yeah.
Does he catch that deep ball? If he does, he's a play. If he
Hogan's a deep league guy anyway, so you tend to take chances with those guys in those deeper leagues.
Be he's like, a 12-team or bigger.
Yeah.
Not a 10-team, I don't think you're going to.
When the Steelers' best defensive lineman is out, they have some injury issues in the defensive
backfield.
They're
a bad defense anyway.
And they are.
Even when they're healthy, they're not they're not a good defense when they're healthy.
That's right.
And Shazier seems to be a huge loss there.
Yeah.
I can't think of, like I said, you have a New England guy. It's pretty close to where if you have somebody on the Patriots, you're not starting him. Why is he on your team?
The running back question is interesting, though, because you said Blunt and White, you both want to start. I really like White in this matchup, but Blunt, you figure if they get up, they just start.
He's going to get a touchdown.
They start doing the four-minute drives, and Blunt will run out the clock.
I think five, six touchdowns are coming here. He's getting one.
Yeah, so Tom Brady, he's the savior of one of my teams.
He'd be
I'm sure
a start
he is for many.
For me.
Yeah, I'm sure he is for many of you. You think Brady's the best fantasy quarterback the rest of the way?
Yeah.
Yep.
Who else? Breeze is too helter-skelter when he's on the road.
Yeah.
Ava's not even top five for me anymore.
Matty Ice been playing his lights out.
I don't know if I can quite, even though I've been on the Ryan bandwagon all year long, I don't know if I can quite go top overall with top five. I'll give you top five.
I give us a gold star for calling out the Matty Ice hatred going in the preseason.
I think that's just where, that's recency bias.
Yeah.
He had
but it was so much. When we were talking about
18th and 19th overall.
I was just about to say. He's a 19th ranked quarterback.
I didn't have him top 5. I had him top 12.
Right.
I thought he was a starter. I didn't think
we thought Stafford and Matt Ryan would push into that QB1 situation. We also thought Jameis a little bit, based on volume and
Jameis
and
is disappointing, but I think he'll get better.
Yeah, I think he's just still young. I think he's going to have peaks and valleys, and there's going to be crazy games where he's thrown 50 times and he looks miserable and other games. Well, listen, we've seen the stat now for Jameis. We'll talk about the Bucs a little bit later, but the stats for Jameis, when they run the ball more than 50% of the time, I think Jameis is 6-0.
I'll take your word for it.
8-0. And when they pass more than 50% of the time, he's 2-13. I'll look at the stat exactly, but it's something along those lines. He needs balance right now. So when they're relying upon him to throw it 58 times like they did a few weeks ago, they're going to lose that football game, and he's not going to look good doing it. So we will get to more of the games next. We'll talk Chargers, Falcons, Saints, Chiefs, Washington, and at Detroit. A lot of games where there's some points to be put up. So it's Mike and George on Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Network, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning hitting you with a slow jam here. Is that Santana? Is that?
Sounds like Santana, no?
Could be Santana, something like that.
I like Santana.
I'm terrible at identifying music, by the way. I'm a big music fan, and I've been to many concerts in my life, but I'm horrible at identifying which band it is or what song it is. It's just it's sort of a blank spot. It's too much fantasy information up here for me to get that.
If you have a show with Scott Engel, just guess Kiss. You're probably right.
Yeah, true. Scott's actually excellent with music identification and all that kind of stuff. He knows tons about music, probably as much as he does about fantasy football. But in any event, I wanted to get to another big game on the slates, the highest total for the week at 54.5, and that's the Chargers at the Falcons. Now, we have some injuries here. Notably to Travis Benjamin, who's questionable. I can't quite figure out from that whether or not he's going to play, but it looks like a game-time decision, correct?
It does. I think he will play, and I think it could be a play for you in your fantasy, once again, depending on your roster construction, how deep you are there. I like the matchup. fast track. I think points are going to be put on the board here for both teams in this game, so I like most of my players here from San Diego and Atlanta.
Yeah, I always get worried about a game like this where it lines up and it's looking perfect, and we should just see 60 points put up because there's nobody that's going to stop each other. And then I just worry about that game falling flat.
It does happen, right?
We've seen it happen way too many times. But this is a game that it really should be all hands on deck. I don't know who's going to be able to cover Julio. I don't know who's going to be able to really cover the Chargers wide receivers. Terrell Williams is a pretty good play this week, especially if Travis Benjamin is out. Williams is a guy you're going to want to pivot to in DFS and in your lineups. We just had a question recently on Twitter about Terrell Williams, so he's a guy that you're going to want to take a look at. Both running backs for the Falcons playing here, correct?
Yeah, more. I think in some leagues I've actually told people not to start Coleman, not for anything against Coleman. They just had really good depth there.
Right.
But I like Coleman a lot. I don't think who aren't you starting? It's another game. Who aren't you starting here?
Right.
You want to start Coleman. You want to start Freeman, Sanu.
About Chargers tight ends, Henry, Gates?
I prefer Henry.
Yeah.
I think if I had a choice, if you had both, I'm starting Henry. If I had Gates, though,
you got to see what your other options are.
Exactly. He's not a must start, but
he's
I don't mind starting him either in this game. I think there's enough room for both because their wide receivers aren't great.
Yeah.
I think as far as San Diego's concerned, the only person I know I'm not starting, I'm probably not starting Inman. You have to be pretty far down that list for me to start Inman.
Yeah.
You know, I like the matchup. Don't like it that much. I like
Sanu
more than Inman.
Dontrell Inman in a league this week.
No consistency two good weeks
there.
And he's done.
Yeah. It seems like his role is a tertiary role. Like Benjamin and Williams are sort of in front of him as far as a focus of the offense, not to mention Melvin Gordon. Hunter Henry really has been the guy that's broken out in a pretty significant way through all of these injuries.
He's a low-end tight end one for me.
Yeah, so I wouldn't have expected that, especially with Antonio Gates still playing. I mean, I know he's been banged up, and he has been out of the lineup in a couple of different weeks, but I didn't expect when he was back playing again that Henry would continue to produce in the way that he has. I was a mess at tight end in our Joe's B Pros League, and now I'm just have Hunter Henry in there every week. He's better. He's as good or better than some of the other types of guys that you have to throw in there. Like Zach Ertz, we're hoping for him to break out. Nothing's happened there yet.
Yeah.
He was hurt, and now it seems like
but
he still may not be 100%.
Did the changing quarterback hurt him?
Yeah.
Because Bradford also has made Rudolph valuable again, right? He was
in
the past couple of years.
Yep.
Bradford throws to his tight ends. That's why we liked Ertz so much. He got traded late at the drafts. Oh, well. And I have – it's like everybody I banked on in leagues, Ertz, Moncrief, Edelman, Roethlisberger – all disappointing.
Yeah, they're got hit hard with injuries there, and as you said, something may continue to be wrong with Edelman. So there you go, Chargers Falcons highest total on the board. It's something you could expect a lot out of, probably from a DFS perspective too. Our guys didn't jump on the QBs there, but they love Julio. For even paying up for Julio because you can get some cheaper running backs this week. Devonta Freeman as a value pick, particularly on DraftKings where his price is a little bit cheaper. And you have some other guys there. I mentioned Terrell Williams. So continue to go through the game. Saints at Chiefs. So Saints on the road. Their road splits notably
terrible.
Much worse than
terrible.
Yeah, much worse than the home splits, but they did produce in San Diego a few weeks ago.
That's San Diego.
Right. So the Chiefs are certainly not San Diego, but I don't know if the Chiefs have been quite as dominant defensively as we had expectations of, or quite as good defensively
as we had
expectations
of. They were so good against the Steelers that Sunday night.
Yeah, exactly. We had 50. We have a 50.5 total here, so a pretty high implied total here for Saints and Chiefs. So what are your thoughts here? I mean, Breeze is a guy that you just have to play each and every week, except that you just mentioned that you might start Derek Carr over him. So.
I might, only because I like the matchup for Carr against Jacksonville. I think points are going to be scored in that Jacksonville game, too. In the end, I doubt I can pull that trigger. I probably will keep Breeze, and I am somebody who believes you generally don't sit your studs unless the matchup is just terrible. And this is not terrible.
Yeah.
It's not good, but it's not terrible. So I imagine I'm going with Breeze there. But I go Breeze. Cooks, Ingram, I can't see having better than the week at Sid Ingram. I don't love him this week,
yeah,
but I can't see having better than that.
Everybody what do you think's else, up with Mark Ingram?
I think it's usage. I think Peyton's playing some games here where he's trying to keep defenses guessing off guard. He seems to do everything possible not to get Ingram a touchdown. I mean, come on, Flina ran one in last week.
John Kuhn had three
John
touchdowns.
John Kuhn had three in one game. I mean, it's just like...
Is he just trying to save him?
Maybe a second hit, but why? Your record's so bad you can't afford to do that right now. You got to win games now. It's not like they're 6-0 and you can afford to do this.
Yeah.
It's he's not in, I think, what, two games now. He's been in on less than 60% of the snaps. So that's strange. Red zone, he's been taken out. So the usage isn't there. Maybe Payton's not happy with him. Doesn't like the way he's running. Not running strong, running hard, whatever it might be. Either way, for fantasy owners, not good.
Yeah, big frustration. Big frustration. I have Ingram in one keeper league and in a dynasty league, and I have to have him in there every week. I don't have better options than that. I'm not going to have better options than that for the rest of the year. So when I was talking earlier about what are some guys that I think could break out for the second half of the season, could be Mark Ingram. There are times during his career where people get frustrated with him, and then he has a really solid month. And I think that could start here. We'll see.
Nah, I'm not seeing it starting tomorrow.
Yeah,
maybe next week.
May not be the game today, but might see Ingram getting on a little bit of a run here. So how about Saints wide receivers? You got Cooks in there. You got no Snead, no Thomas. Fleener,
depends on what else is on your roster. He's probably a start for you. When it comes to Snead, I don't like the matchup. Chiefs are very good against slot wide receivers. Like, they're a top five in the league, so I don't see that working out for them at all, for you at all. And I have seen a couple of leagues I've benched them in both, if possible. I think one I might have had to leave them in. But I don't like the matchup here at all for Snead. Thomas, once again, how far down the depth chart you want to go in a bad matchup? He's fourth, fifth on the target list? I'm going to pass.
Yeah. So and Chiefs, Jeremy Maclin, good matchup. Travis Kelce.
Well, you start Kelce anyway, no matter what the matchup. Maclin, you want to get in there. Obviously, it's the Saints. If you can't start him, well, who are you starting him against? But I don't know if he's going to take advantage of it as some other teams will, mainly because they're a running team. They're not going to ask Alex Smith to throw the ball 30, 40 times. They're not going to need to. They can run it down their throat to Spencer Ware and Jamaal Charles, too, and do just as much damage.
Yeah, DailyRoto.com, DFS, they like Alex Smith as a value play in tournaments, and they like Jeremy Maclin as sort of a cash value play. They feel like the floor is pretty safe, that Maclin will get enough points. But what I think probably the biggest question for this game is the Chiefs running back situation. Jamaal Charles, Spencer Ware, what are you doing here?
Oh, sorry, I want Ware over Charles. I think that's a pretty easy choice for me. Andy Reid, you heard him come out and say this week that he's not so sure Charles is ready for a full complement of snaps.
Yeah.
So that's obviously one red flag. Now, once again, he could be lying. You know, it's not against...
I don't think he is here, though.
I don't think he is here either. Andy Reid's not really known for doing playing that sort of game here, like a Rex Ryan or, you know, Bill Belichick gives you no information. So that could tell you something. Another thing is Charles seems to be banged up again. He's just as questionable. The knee swelled up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, would it shock anybody if he sits or only gets 8-10 carries, 8-10 touches? So, you know, you might want to keep that in mind as well. If you have both guys, you're starting Ware.
Yeah, I think Spencer Ware is a pretty interesting start this week.
Top 10 start.
Yeah, I think he's a guy that you really want to have in there because of all the reasons that George just laid out. Jamaal Charles is definitely not back to 100%. This is to his point that he just made, if he plays. I think he will.
I think he will.
Listen,
also,
if his knee is swollen and they get out there in warmups and he's gimping around the field,
what if they get up quick? They're up 21-0 quick for all we know, 21-3, and they said, "Hey, take the day off. We'll get you ready for next week," which could easily happen.
If Ware wasn't capable, this would be a much bigger debate. But they don't have to.
They don't have to
run him out there. You know,
they've
been,
playing it safe and cautious with him all season long. Why are they going to change now?
That's right. And this is a team that is fighting for a playoff berth, and they're going to want him come playoff time. So outside of that, we go to the next game, which is Washington at Detroit. So we got a lot of injuries here. Jordan Reed banged up. Deshaun Jackson, Jordan Reed's out. Concussion. This is going to be a multiple week thing.
Is that, you know, serious, frankly, that serious league where I'm 6-0 and I have no wide receivers?
That's right.
Guess who my tight end is?
Jordan Reed. Jordan Reed. Saw that.
Gift win for somebody.
Yeah. So, you know, the Jordan Reed thing, fifth concussion in his NFL career, I think this could be a long term situation.
And he's probably had more than five.
Yeah. But we have Deshaun Jackson banged up, but he's a good play if he's healthy. So even
is he a good play?
Yeah,
is he?
I think there's an opportunity here. Sure.
It's always definition of hit or miss with Deshaun Jackson, home run guy.
Yeah, that's very true. I think that's why if you're playing DFS, he's a tournament guy, and we'd have to really know what your lineup is in order to recommend him. It's the same difficulty that I'm having with the Washington wide receivers is the same issue we have with them every week. The targets have been so split between Garcon, Jackson, and Crowder, we can't say that one guy is head and shoulders above the next. DeSean Jackson is always going to have the biggest upside due to the nature of his play. But Crowder's catching touchdown passes, and Garcon is seeing the most targets. So what do you really do with it? We have to know lineup by lineup who the best guy is. But if you were ranking them, how would you rank them, say, in a PPR league? DeSean, Garcon, Crowder.
Well, the injury to DeSean, you look at his numbers, he hasn't caught more than 55 yards in a game since week three.
Right.
So I'm not loving that there. He catches just a little bit over half his targets, and that's a little unfair because some of his targets are deep balls, and those really, let's face it, they're hit or miss anyway. You're not going to catch more than, 30% of those anyway? Yep. So that's going to be a little tough there. I'm a conservative guy. I'm going Garcon 1. I would still go with DeSean Jackson 2, but Crowder, I think, is the one who benefits here from Reed. That doesn't mean he's going to have the best numbers. I think he benefits the most of the receivers from Reed being out. I think he'll get some additional targets there, and he can be somewhat dangerous in a PPR league. So I don't think I had DeSean Jackson any league, so I don't have to make this decision, but I'm not liking him this week.
Right.
Banged up, might not play the full game. The numbers haven't been there in a month. Him and Cousins just seem to be off.
Yeah. If he's healthy, potential, or if he's playing, his potential option there for value in DFS is DeSean Jackson. Now, Lions running back situation, it's one of the messiest ones in the league.
Something else I don't want to get involved in.
They barely run the ball at all, but you got Dwayne Washington, Justin Forsett, Zach Zenner, anybody else that you want to throw out there.
Riddick's out. We don't have to worry about him.
Exactly. Theo Riddick's out, so there's nobody I can even really recommend from a running standpoint. Golden Tate, you like him to continue the positive vibes. Clearly that was a huge breakout game, but you like him to continue his success.
It's against Washington. Banged up secondary. Once again, another game where points could be put on the board here. It's in that dome, so beautiful place to play.
Yep.
Fast track. Yes, I like Golden Tate. I think he'll be a flex wide receiver.
Yeah, I think Tate and Marvin Jones are both starts this week.
Marvin Jones is a must start.
Yeah, so I think you like both of those guys. Eric Ebron out. The running back situation we just detailed.
I think Bolden could be a starter in deeper leagues, too, if you're in trouble at wide receiver. I think he'll have a solid game as well. Not big, but solid.
That's right. I think Washington has really struggled to cover the pass these last couple of seasons, and it's rearing its head again. I think all three of those Washington wide receivers are our options. Like I said, Marvin Jones, like George said, is a must. I like Golden Tate and Anquan Boldin in those deeper leagues is an option, because without Theo Riddick catching passes and Eric Ebron not on the field, and I don't think Ebron's much of a threat anyway, but without those two even in the lineup, it really falls to Stafford to keep slinging it to those three wide receivers. We're going to have Gary Davenport coming up at 9 o'clock. He from Bleacher Report and Fantasy Sharks will talk a little bit about IDPs. You can hit him up on Twitter at IDPSharks. And we'll talk to him about everything related to fantasy football. He's dealing with injuries just like we are. The defensive players are banged up just like the offensive players are, even though we don't talk about them as much. It's clearly an opportunity for us to dive down and see what kind of options, what kind of pivots we have at various positions with all of these high-profile players out. We mentioned Cam Hayward from the Steelers. We've mentioned the Rams defensive line. We've got Ryan Shazier, who's banged up. It's been pretty much a mess, George.
It always is. It's football. It's game of attrition. You're going to get hurt. You got to survive it. Depth. Got to have depth. Got to work that waiver wire during the season. It's just the way the game's played.
Yeah. To those of you Luke Kuechly owners, he has a week off, which isn't great for you. Certainly isn't for me in our Dynasty League. Cowboys, Sean Lee out. Some other guys that you are going to have to pivot away from defensively. So it is Gary Davenport coming back after the break. It's Mike and George on Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm Mike Lou with George Kurtz, and we're the Roto Experts in the Morning. You know, we've been breaking down games for an hour. We're going to continue to break down games for the next hour. The common theme is injuries, unfortunately. And as we switch to Gary Davenport, who you can find at Bleacher Report and at at Fantasy Sharks and on Twitter at IDP Sharks, the injury theme continues to the defensive side of the ball. Am I right, Gary?
Oh, absolutely. I was just posting on Twitter that C.J. Mosley of the Baltimore Ravens has been ruled out for a second straight game this week thanks to the hamstring pull he made trying to reach a ball across the end zone a couple weeks ago for a touchdown.
So and a fumble.
And a horrible fumble.
Failure at that. It was a really
cost him the game.
Boneheaded play that cost him the game. He just he would have been better off.
Looked like he threw the ball.
He did. He tossed it over the goal line trying to reach out. Like he's trying to do like an Odell Beckham
like
grab by fingertips.
Like, oh, I'm going to roll. Like it's bowling. I'll roll the ball across.
So hurt in the process. Muhammad Wilkerson from the Jets is probably out. We've got Cameron Hayward from the Steelers is out. So you're going to need to help us find some pivots to some of these guys. And I saw in your article on the IDP Sharks on Fantasy Sharks article, IDP Duds and Studs, we got some guys whose names people may not be all that familiar with, and one of them is a rookie, DeForest Buckner.
Oh, absolutely. Coming off a great game this past week against the Buffalo Bills, one of the few bright spots for the San Francisco 49ers in that game. Racked up the first two sacks of his NFL career. More importantly for IDP owners, he's already playing virtually every snap for the San Francisco 49ers as a rookie. So at least you know you're going to have those opportunities for him to produce in a pretty good matchup against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. If you're hurting at the linebacker position, Mosley's replacement, Albert McClellan for the Ravens, put up, I think, 9 total tackles this past week, 7 solos. So he's a guy that should be available in a lot of leagues that you could plug in. Might not put up phenomenal numbers, but it's good enough to get you by as a third linebacker.
You know, Gary, my first question to you was going to be about the Baltimore situation. You mentioned Mosley, Suggs got problems, Dumervil is out. I guess we'll pass that now that you've already killed that. Thank you so much. You know, we talk about revenge games sometimes. It's for fun. It really doesn't mean anything, but it's fun to talk about. Usually it's probably offensive players. Well, you know, Mario Williams going back to Buffalo this weekend. Well, actually, they're going back. They're playing Buffalo this weekend. Expecting a big game from him?
It would be nice if something would motivate Mario Williams because he's done virtually nothing this season for the Miami Dolphins, just as he did very, very little for Buffalo last year. So, I mean, if you're desperate and hurting on the defensive front or you got a couple guys out on bye or whatever, I might roll him up. But, I mean, there have been 2 games this year where he's literally done absolutely nothing, no stats whatsoever. And another one where I think he had 1 solo. So literally half the games he's given you nothing or 1 point. So he's to the point where he's more or less a staple to my bench, and I don't know that I'm going to be able to pry those staples out tomorrow either.
You know, one guy that you and I talked about a couple of weeks ago, he's a great player from an IDP fantasy perspective. His value has declined to the point where he's tough to use, and that's Earl Thomas. But you actually like him this week. Is it mainly because Cam Chancellor looks like he's out again?
It's partly Chancellor being out, partly the Cardinals have been kind to defensive backs, partly Thomas has heated up a little bit the past couple weeks, had an interception last week against the Atlanta Falcons, and partly that he does have a tendency to step up in big games, and that game Sunday night is for first place. Well, it's not necessarily for first place in the NFC West, but it's for kind of top dog status in that division. So I look for him to have a good game against the Cardinals. Carson Palmer has not been the same this year, assuming he even plays this week, which I think they're going to try to roll him out there. So I think Earl Thomas will have a pretty good game.
Hey, Carson Palmer played in that bucket challenge they do it in Arizona, decide who wears that stupid costume pregame. So if he can play in that, I think he plays in the game as well. We barely mentioned Cam Chancellor here. Now, Scott Engel believes that if Chancellor's out, it just hurts the entire secondary, that they can be thrown on, the deep play could be hit there. Do you feel the same?
I think it's easier to throw on them with Chancellor out of the game. I think there's less danger of a receiver getting his block knocked off as he comes across the middle of the field. And, you know, he's kind of he gets everyone in position. So I think it's easier to catch the Seattle defense kind of napping when he's not in there. So the the question is going to be that, I mean, Arizona's not had a lot of success throwing the football this year. When they've really been successful offensively, it's when they've been banging away on the ground with David Johnson. So I don't know that they're necessarily in a position to take advantage of Chancellor's absence, especially with they've got injuries of their own at wide receiver. It looks like John Brown's going to sit. Jerron Brown's looking iffy, so they got problems of their own.
Yeah, the depth, the Cardinals are one of the deepest wide receiving cores in the league. That has been basically eliminated because of the reasons that you just mentioned. So it would be a Fitzgerald-Floyd combo. Matty Ice was able to throw on them, but clearly that passing offense is working on all cylinders where the Cardinals is not. So how about flipping over to some guys that you don't really love this week? Who are some of your duds this week that you typically would have in the lineup but are looking to avoid this week?
Yannick Ngakoue, the rookie defensive end for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Last week I advised sitting him. He made me look foolish by racking up a sack in his fourth consecutive game. He's only the second player in NFL history, I believe, with four sacks and an interception in his first five games. Terrell Suggs was the other one. But this week they're going up against the Oakland Raiders. The Raiders are just a terrible matchup for defensive linemen. They were dead last in the league in sacks allowed and fantasy points allowed to defensive linemen last year. They are dead last in sacks allowed, fantasy points allowed to defensive linemen so far this year. They just do not give up sacks. So, I mean, as hot as he's been, streaks have got to end sometime. So I will freely admit I'm not nuts about him this week. Brandon Graham has cooled off for the Philadelphia Eagles. The Minnesota Vikings are another team that doesn't give up sacks. Kiko Alonso, I'm not sure what to think of Kiko this week because on one hand, the Dolphins have had the most tackle opportunities of any team in the NFL so far this year. But on the other hand, Buffalo is, I think, 23rd in tackle opportunities and 31st in fantasy points allowed to the linebacker position. And given LeSean McCoy's injury status this week, that could just make their offense sputter that much more. So Kiko is going to be feast or famine this week. He's either going to have, you know, a 7-solo game or 2 solos. I don't know that there's going to be any middle ground with him.
Shaq Lawson's supposed to finally suit up this weekend. What can we expect out of him?
He's a guy I'd have to see a couple games out of because before I would advise picking him up, even in a big play heavy league, unless you're in a really deep, you know, you've got a lot of bench spots. Rookie pass rusher, sometimes it takes him a little while to get rolling. It's a long layoff, so you got to figure they're going to manage his snap count for the first few games. So, I mean, I think it's a bigger impact for the Bills as an NFL team than it will be for IDP owners, unless you play in a league where Lawson has DL eligibility. And if that's the case, that boosts his value quite a bit.
So what are your thoughts on, you know, Steelers weren't a great defense when they were healthy. They're okay. They weren't great. Now they're pretty banged up. Ryan Shazier looks like he's coming back this week, I believe. So you think he just gets right back on the horse? Is this a solid game for him, or are you concerned that he's still a little banged up?
Yeah, the Patriots have been a really solid matchup for linebackers so far this year. So I'd like Stan. He was putting up great numbers before he got hurt. The question, that's the $64 question with Ryan Shazier, was how long will he stay healthy?
Yeah.
And every week that you roll him, he's joined the Sean Lee Club. Phenomenal player when he can stay on the field. The problem is he can't stay on the field. So every time you roll him out there, there's a chance that you're going to be looking at the stat line in the second quarter and be like, why does he only have one tackle? Well, he only has one tackle because he got hurt. So if you have Ryan Shazier, given that you've been sitting on him for a few weeks and the matchup's favorable, yeah, you're going to roll him out there. But there's always going to be that risk with Shazier. And it's too bad. I mean, he has all the talent in the world. I think he could be one of the NFL's best inside linebackers if he could just stay on the field.
Gary, you're moving as far as the other side of the ball here. Because of the injuries to the Houston Texans cornerbacks, are you moving up maybe Trevor Siemian, Sanders, Thomas, a little more interested in playing them, or does Houston have somebody else they can rely on?
Oh, you know, I'd like to think the Denver offense will get right. I've covered that Thursday night game against San Diego for Bleacher Report, and their offensive line is just a problem for that team right now. I mean, they can't really run the ball with any consistency. They can't protect Siemian and give him a chance to get the ball downfield. And, yeah, the Texans don't have J.J. Watt anymore, but they do have Whitney Merciless and Jadeveon Clowney. So I don't know if Simeon's going to have time to really hurt him. Denver has problems. I think right now Kansas City's probably the most complete team in that division.
Well, it's the team I picked to win the division, so I hope you're right about that. You know, something I asked George earlier about a couple of different players and something, you know, just maybe one or two players off the top of your head that have maybe struggled or, frankly, not produced for any number of reasons thus far into the NFL season that you think could turn it around for fantasy owners. Any IDPs, any defensive players out there, you can pick offensive players if you want. But guys that you have been looking at and saying, you know what, if he can just get to this week, I think he can break out because of some tasty matchups coming up for the next few weeks.
You know, it may not happen this week because one is banged up and another one's just coming back from injury, but you're slumping defensive linemen, guys like Robert Quinn, Mo Wilkerson. Those guys can always turn it around. I mean, it's not unheard of for a defensive lineman to have a slow first 5, even 6 weeks of the season. Then he hits a hot streak and rolls up, you know, 6 sacks in a month. And you look back at the end of the year and his numbers are right about where you thought they'd be. Levante David is a guy who might turn it around. He got off to a slow start last year. And then by the end of the season was the number one linebacker in a lot of scoring systems. The defensive backs, I can't think of anyone off the top of my head. Usually by now, if they're not getting it done, they're not going to. I mean, Corey Graham in Buffalo was second or third in fantasy points last year, and he's done nothing this year. But a lot of times with the defensive backs, if they're not getting it done, then their role has probably changed, and that's what's happened with Graham. Last year, he was spending a lot of more time closer to the line of scrimmage, and I think with Rex kind of fiddling with the defense in the offseason, he's playing deep a lot more, and he's just not seeing the tackle opportunities this season. So if you still have Corey Graham on your roster, I think he's safe to cut loose at this point.
Yeah, I can use a couple of injury updates on DeMarcus Ware and or Justin Houston.
Oh, I wouldn't expect to see either one of those guys for a little while. I mean, we're hearing rumblings with Houston. Ware's really to the point where he doesn't have that much fantasy value to begin with. I mean, once upon a time he did, mostly as a defensive end when he was in Dallas. Houston is a guy, you know, you're going to want to monitor the practice reports, maybe even let him get that first game back in, and it depends on your scoring system. He has a lot more value in leagues that lean a little more heavily towards sack. But he's a guy who's shown the ability to put up, you know, top 25 linebacker numbers, even in balance scoring leagues. The question is just going to be, it's another guy. It's been a long layoff, and you have to wonder how long it's going to take Justin Houston to get back to being Justin Houston, and if we'll even see that this season. And, you know, we're getting to the point in the season, especially with these 16 bye weeks coming up, where roster spots are freshest. And I don't know that you necessarily want to spend one on a guy who's not going to be able to help you right away.
You know, Gary, going back to your article, Studs and Duds, I thought I liked the open of it because you called out a couple of players that people may not be as familiar with. I think your IDP fantasy players are very familiar with this, but I think it's interesting to, you know, we spend the entire preseason talking about, you know, J.J. Watt's back and Navarro Bowman coming back from an injury, and he'll be right back at the top of the list for tackles because the Niners are going to be so bad. It'll create all these opportunities. Well, all these guys got hurt, and Khalil Mack is not off to the start that we expected. So we have a couple of guys that we frankly didn't expect to be at the top of the heap, and it's Daniel Hunter of the Minnesota Vikings on the defensive line front and Quan Alexander on the Tampa Bay Bucks front. We had some notion of Quan Alexander early in the year, but here we are. It's week 7, and these guys are still at the top of the heap. Give us a little bit on those two guys.
Oh, absolutely. And Alexander got off to a great start last. That was one of the reasons why Levante David got off to a little bit of a slow start last year, was Quan played so well as a rookie. What killed him was he spent the last 4 games of his rookie season suspended. So, right, you know, when the fantasy playoffs are getting going, teams lost him. And I think coming into this season, people forgot about him a little bit. He was coming off the board probably as a low-end LB2, high-end LB3, and he's picked up right where he left off and has played great. Hunter, I'll admit, I listed him as a bit of a sleeper entering the season. I didn't expect this. You know, I expected he'd see some more snaps, start taking over that spot from Brian Robeson, who's a capable veteran, but he's a low-ceiling guy. But Hunter has done much more than just, you know, kind of take that job and run with it. He's playing better than Everson Griffin right now. He's been a key part of that Minnesota pass rush being among the best in the NFL. And given how the Vikings line is firing all cylinders, I don't know that we're going to see Hunter tail off. It's very possible he could finish the year as a top five guy. And when you're able to draft a Quan Alexander, you know, 27th among linebackers or whatever, or get Danielle Hunter 30th among defensive linemen, and those guys go out and put up top five numbers, you guys know on the offensive side of the ball, those are the kind of picks that win you leagues.
Gary, you know, one of the big questions I've gotten this week, or I shouldn't say big, one of the questions I've received frequently this week is people worried about DeAndre Hopkins playing against that Denver defense. When you're grading players out or grading defenses out, how much do you look at the opposing team's offense? And would you be worried about Hopkins this week, where could you possibly sit someone who was drafted as a top five wide receiver?
You know, for me to sit Nuck Hopkins this week, I'd have to have an awfully good option behind him. I mean, because you know he's going to get targeted. The Tlaib matchup does make me a little nervous, because Tlaib's done a pretty good job, especially these last couple of weeks. You know, Julio Jones didn't do a whole lot against him. Travis Benjamin had a very quiet night. But, I mean, who are you really going to roll out there ahead of him? And we finally started to see some signs of life out of him this past. At least the Texans were throwing to him. I mean, Aqib Tlaib doesn't make me as nervous where DeAndre Hopkins is concerned as Brock Osweiler does. That's the problem with DeAndre Hopkins this season.
I think you're right. I think you're right about that. Osweiler seems intent on throwing 100-mile-an-hour passes when it doesn't necessarily require it, and vice versa. So I appreciate that. Well, you know, obviously this week we got no Sean Lee, no Luke Kuechly. I think those are two big losses for people on the linebacker front. But good stuff as always, Gary. I appreciate it, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, you guys have a good one.
So that was Gary Davenport. He is an NFL analyst at Bleacher Report. He's the IDP senior staff writer for Fantasy Sharks. He also writes for Roto World, and you can find him on Twitter at IDP Sharks and hit him up with all the questions, and you'll be able to read his articles. He's solid on this front. So that is Gary Davenport. We will be taking you all the way till 10 o'clock. It's Mike and George on Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Welcome back, Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. If you just want to win your fantasy league and not worry about stacks, GPPs, or contrarian plays, then Old School Fantasy is the show for you. Fantasy Sports Writer Association Hall of Famer Scott Engel and our very own award-nominated writer George Kurtz give you all you need to know. Give you all you need to know to coolly run roughshod through your season-long leagues. The fun begins at noon Eastern every weekday. Old School Fantasy only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, on demand at fntsy.com/radio, or available for download on iTunes. Should have read that one before so I could properly give you the credit for being part of the Old School Fantasy show. But in any event, George, you can find, what time is that on every day?
12 to 1.
12 to 1 live, and you catch it on demand anytime you want. So just a reminder that coming up at the top of the hour is College Game Day with Joe Lisi and Rich Ciminello. It's College Game Day, breaking down all the games. Clearly, they were talking about my alma mater, where they're going to dominate the Syracuse Orangemen at some point today. I don't even know what time that game is. But Luke Kuechly, who has a bye week this week, is getting his number retired at BC today. I believe his number is getting retired. It's a huge honor for him. So kudos to my school for getting something right. Hopefully they can win the game today as well. So beyond that, we're back to the games, back to the breakdowns for this week. We talk Saints Chiefs. We talk Washington at the Lions. A couple of big games that are coming up are Seahawks at Cardinals and Vikings at Eagles. But before that, we got Raiders at Jaguars, which is two teams that have put up a ton of points and the defenses can't stop anybody. So is this an all hands on deck kind of game?
Yeah. And once again,
at receiver.
At receiver anyway, yeah. I think a running back has different issues there.
Yeah.
You look at the Jaguars and Hearns, I'm not completely sold on him. I do want to start him in this matchup, though. The Raiders can't stop the pass. But Hearns is somebody who might worry me. And are we certain he's playing yet? I know as of yesterday when I checked that we weren't quite positive that he would get in there.
Yeah.
I'm looking at his status now.
One of my leagues, everybody on the bench is out or questionable. So
I lost a claim yesterday.
He
was not on the injury report, so he will play tomorrow.
So interesting that you mentioned that about Hearns losing a claim on Hearns, because I have Hearns on a team where I also have Allen Robinson, just the way it worked out during the draft. I haven't played Hearns yet. I don't see myself playing Hearns because my other receivers are A.J. Green and Amari Cooper, along with Allen Robinson. Hearns isn't going to crack that lineup unless Allen Robinson gets hurt. I'm dropping Allen Hearns because somebody dropped Dante Moncrief. Is that the right move?
What are your other wide receivers? Just those four?
Yeah. That's all I got to play. I got to play two and a flex, and I've been
probably looking at my
A.J. Green, Allen Robinson, and Amari Cooper.
Make sure none of those guys have a bye next week. You'll be short a wide receiver.
I'm good.
Yeah, I think Moncrief's back. Before that, so I'm fine with that, yes.
Yeah, I got A.J. Green coming over the bye in a couple of weeks, and then I got Amari Cooper
a few weeks after that. I'm going down with the ship.
Yeah, I just feel like, you know, the byes are going to work out for Moncrief to play if he can come back in a few weeks. I'm never really going to play Hearns and Robinson at the same time.
I don't generally panic about something like that. I'm panicking more about Hearns not doing it.
I still have Travis Benjamin there. If he's able to, you know, stay healthy, I still have Travis Benjamin there. So why not take a little bit of an upside play there as I head towards the playoffs? I'm in first place in that league, most points scored. So I figure why not take a shot. So back to that game, Jags and Raiders. You like Carr. We like Bortles. Bortles is a big DFS play this week. Good value there. The real values in DFS this week are not some of the higher profile quarterbacks. You have Andy Dalton, Blake Bortles, and Marcus Mariota, which are good plays there. But running back, what are you going to do here? Anything?
Probably not. I don't want anything to do with Oakland. We got Washington, Murray, Richards. I mean, unless they bring Marcus Allen back, I'm going to pass on Oakland. I have to be really desperate to start one of these guys.
You really are the old school fantasy guy.
I try to live up to it.
You bring back Marcus Allen.
It's honestly really the first player that comes to my head that played for the team when I do something like that. I don't really think these things through. I was going to say Bo Jackson. Would that make you feel better?
Yeah, I don't know. But Marcus Allen is suitable for old school fantasy.
Bo knows. There's nobody old school for Jacksonville, of course. Fred Taylor, how about that?
Yeah.
I don't like T.J. Yeldon. I really haven't liked him since the middle of last year. He can't get the job done. He's had multiple chances over and over again. The Raiders play the run better than they do the pass. Ivory, listen, you're desperate. He could get in the end zone, right? Yeah. Could. I don't know how the top three or four leading rushers from last year can't get untracked at all this year. Yep. For a passing team, which means he should have room to run. What that general illness was in the beginning of the season that cost him a couple of games, put him in the hospital, general, yeah. More coach speak there. I'm dying to know what this is because this is just strange that he doesn't look like he's the same player.
Yep.
You know, and
I agree.
And last week, if you watched the game last week, this had to be the most frustrating thing. What was the big problem of the Jaguars last year and their offense? If you remember, it was the red zone, especially inside the 10-5-yard line. They keep throwing the ball, they couldn't run it in. You get Ivory, you figure to solve that problem. Last week, I think it was first and goal from the two, they throw the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they don't get it.
Yep.
You know, finally, and they end up in a field goal. Finally, they did get they ran Ivory in that same situation a couple of series later. So maybe they wake up and realize that's really what he's built for, to be used as a battering ram there. But bottom line is,
Allen Robinson did drop a touchdown pass.
Yes.
It wasn't a good throw, but he did drop a touchdown pass and basically handed it to the defensive player. So
it happens. I don't want to use any of these backs. Ivory would be mine. If I was drafting today and I had to choose one, it would be Ivory.
Tight end, Julius Thomas, Clive Walford,
Walford,
any
usage there? I'd be pretty desperate to use Walford. And you might be.
Yeah.
You know, there was one league I needed a tight end. I was hoping Walford was available. He was not.
Yeah.
That's how bad the tight end is there. As for Julius Thomas, it's a good matchup. You expect good things. This man is always banged up. He's going to play.
Always.
He's questionable again, but he's always banged up, and it's disappointing. You think he should have a good matchup, good games, good numbers. They just aren't there.
He's a guy that you and I like going into this year too.
Every year.
You could wait on tight end and feel like he's going to get some of these opportunities, and he just can't stay out there. So even if you get a good week out of him, he's likely to be hurt in the subsequent week. So he's a difficult guy to roster when you have to. You're almost. Like, I made the decision, I'll go with Gary Barnage instead of Julius Thomas because I can't keep maneuvering my roster around every week in case Thomas is hurt, and then rostering a second tight end until he gets healthy. I just said Gary Barnage, which the upside isn't there for Barnage this year, but It's all right. Maybe when Josh McCown comes back.
Hey, but if Cody Kessler. No pro prior tomorrow, that passing game is Barnage.
That's right. That's right. So so there you go. That's Raiders, Jags. Keep going down through. We'll read some tweets in a minute, and we'll keep going down through the games. But Hawks, Cardinals. So Seahawks at the Cardinals, a huge game. These two teams are coming off really different kinds of weeks. The Cardinals luckily get to stay at home, but they played a Monday night game against a listless Jets team and literally ran over them. And then you had the Hawks get into it with the Falcons, a game that was really hard fought. It was probably one of the better games I've seen in the NFL this year. Unfortunately, ended on a very controversial no call, which it was pass interference.
Well, they never call pass interference on the
so ridiculous
the you know the bombs at the end of the game. They never do.
Yeah.
And there's almost always is pass interference on those plays. They always undercut the receiver, pull him down.
I did find that one to be particularly egregious. He hooked.
It was pass interference.
He hooked his arm.
We all know it was.
Yeah. And granted, the quarterbacks are going to throw those balls up there to try to get calls, and I don't mind the refs swallowing the whistle in certain circumstances.
Are you on board with PI being reviewable?
I've thought about this so much, honestly, probably way too much. And I've thought about, should they just go to a 15-yard penalty?
No.
And I've thought that it could increase the number of pass interference.
Right, because you'll take the guy down rather than give a 50-yard bomb. You'll just pull him down.
But conversely, you can make the argument these guys know what the state of the penalty is now, and they still commit it all the time, right?
Well, it's not going to be called all the time. I don't think you can review it.
I don't think how are the officials? Well, the officials wouldn't adjust. They just basically call it or – in some people think that they botch it in the same way that they do now, whether it's a 15-yard penalty.
But you can't review it because everything's pass interference. It's like every play is holding. How would that be
reviewable? I don't think I would review pass interference just because, to your point, there's holding on every play.
Right. But I think you can review it the other way when they call it and there's not pass interference. You saw that in the Giant game last week where they called it on the DRC and that I don't know what the official was looking at.
I don't think you can do that.
I don't think you do it.
It's all in or all out.
Right. The official's bad, and you pretty much have old men trying to keep up with top-notch athletes. It's not going to work.
I mean, there's that, but listen, we've gotten to a point, and it's fans' fault for demanding this stuff and the league for now putting the officials in an impossible spot. They may call very good games at times, but we parse every mistake that they make.
Well,
it's incredible.
Nature of the game.
That is the nature of the game, but now
it's the nature of stats. Well, we look at everything. Basically, we look at every pitch.
Yeah.
Every pitch.
It's true.
And football's the same thing. Every play, we're dissecting
everybody and everywhere.
There's
a lot of people out there, and we've talked about this. I talked about this on the show with Tony last Sunday night, talking about automating ball and strike calls.
Oh, that's an absolute.
Just take the umpires out of it.
That's an absolute. The problem with the ball and strikes when you get to baseball is the umpires admit they have different strike zones with different pitchers.
That's right.
If you're a veteran pitcher, you get a bigger plate. You're a rookie pitcher, you get a smaller plate.
Right.
Not
to mention the human element of umpire to umpire.
Right. And then the strike zone changes from the first inning to the ninth inning.
Right.
It's a joke. And I'm sure that happens in football as well. You're going to have some cornerbacks, that's a Hall of Famer. Oh, he can do whatever he wants. You know, Darrell Reeves can pull the guy down.
So I actually think the NFL refs and maybe every official in every sport is in a no-win scenario. I don't think you can review pass interference. I would consider the 15-yard penalty, but I just think there'll be more penalties.
I agree with you except for the 15. I don't think you can review the 15. I don't think you can make pass interference a 15-yard penalty.
But these jump balls where there are flags thrown, it's ridiculous.
Well, you know,
it's like everybody's fighting for the ball the same way.
Keep your hands off each other. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
But this is what they're taught to do.
Yeah.
You know, to keep your hands on the pull of the jersey, you know, do all those. They're being taught illegal stuff.
Yeah. Because the offensive players are at a massive advantage.
Yeah, but the coaches also know odds are not going to call it.
They're going to miss a few. Bill Belichick certainly teaches that.
I've said it over and over again.
Because of that.
I ref hockey games, men's hockey league games, and my hand only goes up to call a penalty. When I have no doubt, I know it's penalty.
Yeah.
Other than that, if I have any doubt at all, let him play.
Yeah. Well, back to that game, Hawks, Cardinals. So they really coming off very different types of games. Hawks hard fought to the end. They have to go on the road. I'd say overall as a team, they look a lot better, but Cardinals running game has been pretty powerful. David Johnson is a guy that you're going to start. Christine Michael, you like him in this lineup here? You going to start him?
Do I like him? No, but you're starting him.
Yeah, exactly. So both quarterbacks, you're putting him out there. Palmer, you probably have some better options.
Yeah, I'm hoping you have better options than Carson Palmer. Gary already mentioned he is banged up. I wasn't joking about that bucket challenge. He did participate in that, which would seem to be a pretty good indication that he's ready to play.
So those who don't know, the Cardinals quarterbacks have a competition.
And somebody else, like Patrick Peterson was been involved a couple times, too.
Patrick Peterson's like arrogant about how good an arm he
is. Lost last week.
He competes against
it. Has nothing to do with your arm. You gotta, it's accuracy.
Yes. So they put a bucket in the end zone, and I think they throw from the 30-yard line.
Somewhere around there, yeah.
And so they try and toss balls into the bucket, however many, whoever does the worst in tossing those balls into the bucket has to wear a costume selected by the other
We've all
players.
Seen it. It's been all the pregame shows. Peterson was a dinosaur or something last week or something like that. You've seen Palmer dressed up as a bunny.
Yep.
It's pretty funny. I think that stuff's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is I think Palmer does play. I don't think he plays well. Mm-hmm. Hasn't played well in a long time.
Yep.
Not someone I'm dying to start here. I think he could probably do better.
You're going to play Fitz? You're going to play Larry Fitzgerald.
Oh, okay. Did you know where you go with that yet?
No, I'm saying you're going to play Larry Fitzgerald.
That's it.
No Michael Floyd.
If you're starting Floyd.
If John Brown's out.
Don't care either way. I don't want Brown anyway. Okay. I mean, I don't even really want to start Fitz either, but I don't think he could be able to do – you have to be a pretty deep roster to be able to sit Fitz. I'm not seeing big games out of any of these guys here, but Fitz is the one guy of the guys you just mentioned, Floyd Brown, that I feel the most comfortable starting.
Yeah, I just think he's too big a part of the offense to really sit him. But to your point, maybe you don't have high expectations for this week. Doug Baldwin in the lineup.
He hasn't done much lately either.
I know.
Baldwin's probably a yes. Lockett's a no. Jimmy Graham's a yes. Jimmy Graham's banged up, but he practiced yesterday. He's fine to go.
Okay, so there you go. That's a little snapshot on that. Vikings-Eagles, it's the lowest total on the board this week at 40. Two teams playing pretty well defensively, and you got to have a rookie quarterback going up against the best defense in the league. Luckily, it's a home game for him, but Carson Wentz and Wentzylvania and all that Carson Wentz train is slowing down slightly after a couple of losses.
And, yeah, I think you'll probably see the same thing. I don't think it's more of the loss, it's more that rookie quarterbacks' teams catch up. They have more film on you now. They know what you're doing. They know what your strengths are and your weaknesses are. You'll probably see the same thing with Dak Prescott eventually. Teams will figure him out somewhat. The only difference is Prescott can run a little bit more and better running game. As far as this game is concerned, I'm expecting a defensive slugfest somewhat. Although that Philadelphia defense is showing some cracks of late.
Yep.
They're not playing as well. It's just not surprising. They weren't expected to be a great defense here. So I think this will be somewhat of an interesting game.
You like Jerick McKinnon here?
Define like.
Top 12?
No. I don't think he's all that close to top 12.
So it's
he's not a touchdown guy. It is a better defense. You really need a touchdown. For him to get double digits fantasy-wise points, you're going to need to get a touchdown here. And I don't know if that's going to happen. I was a flex play, no more than that.
RB2?
Yeah, I can see an RB2, sure. Top 24? Okay. Yeah, because we're all running backs a week. Stephon Diggs, someone I'm going to have to watch. He's going to be a tough call for me, Mike, because I hate starting guys coming off injuries. He's practicing in a limited fashion.
Yeah.
Philadelphia does have a good secondary. It is still Sam Bradford throwing the ball here. So I'm not loving him. I only have him in one league, and I really need him to... I really need to feel better about him, but I always worry about guys coming up groins or hamstrings that they come in there. They're not at full strength, so they don't have that burst. They get hurt early on. They're out the rest of the game. I'm going to have concerns about Diggs. Terrell Pryor's in the same category as well.
Yeah.
But I'm probably going to start him.
Yeah.
And Rudolph is my only other start.
Yeah, I think Rudolph and McKinnon are both interesting DFS options. As far as the Eagles are concerned, you know, Vikes are just a really tough matchup right now. So,
who do you want to start on the Eagles? I don't want to start anybody. Matthews, you may have to. You know, running back, we're all weak. Darren Sproles, I can see that.
Maybe
just
terrible,
double passes here.
It's a terrible situation for Ryan Matthews.
I don't want to start Zach Ertz if I can avoid it.
I think Jordan Matthews, I don't know what your wide receiver depth looks like.
Depends on depth. If I can if I can avoid it, I'll sit Matthews.
Yeah.
Both Matthews.
Really tough matchups here. I'm playing Ertz in one league.
I think it's the
only Eagle I have lined up for this week, but you just don't really want to see that going. And the Vikings are coming off a bye, too, right? So fully rested going up against
the Eagles. Fully rested, healthy.
Yeah, so not great. Not a great matchup for the Eagles here. So Texans playing the Broncos. In Denver, we've talked a lot about that already. It's not a great matchup for Hopkins, but you're never going to really sit the guy. He's probably just a low-end wide receiver too. But, you know, Julio Jones was a low wide receiver too a couple of weeks ago. Julio Jones was seeing his rankings get knocked down a little bit, and he was still able to have a productive game against the Seahawks last week. So we'll see if Osweiler can continue what we saw in the final 4 minutes of regulation and overtime.
Yeah, I'm not banking on that.
In Denver. Well, that'd be tough. Revenge game, Scott Engel's famous revenge game for Osweiler. You guys didn't want to pay me. I'm going back for revenge.
There absolutely is revenge factor here. Of course there is. For some reason, he didn't want to play in Denver. Whatever reason it was, maybe he didn't want to follow Peyton and have to live up to that. Maybe he was mad about how they treated him.
How about revenge for the Broncos players for him bailing on them?
Remember all those kinds of practice we couldn't hit you? Not going to happen
exactly.
Monday.
It's no red jersey today, buddy.
No red jersey. Same thing with Bradford in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Well, at least Bradford got sort of surprisingly ditched by the Eagles.
He didn't leave the team. They got rid of him.
Brock, listen, he went for the money. If I were him, I would do the same thing.
Of course you would. We all would have done the same thing.
If Elway paid him what the Texans paid him, he'd be a Bronco.
It wasn't like we were talking a little bit here. They paid him a lot more money.
Yeah. You like C.J. Anderson in this matchup?
He starts. I wouldn't say I like him.
Yeah.
I'm worried about Devontae Booker still eating at the points. Even though I think CJ, he got really, really unlucky last game. I think you and I talked about this last Saturday. Yeah. I mean, every big play he had was called back by penalty.
Yeah.
So when you look at the final numbers, you didn't watch the game, you look at the final numbers, Booker played better. Yeah. He had all those numbers, but every big play was called back. So he got a touchdown, called back.
Yeah, he broke out in a really nice run for a touchdown run and then holding call.
You got to take that with a grain of salt, but either way, Booker is eating into his touches, no matter how you look at it. But still. If you could do better than C.J. Anderson, you're starting two running backs. Some leagues I know only start one, but if you're in a raw standard league and you have better than C.J. Anderson, God bless you. I don't.
Will Fuller banged up for the Texans.
Gonna play though, I believe.
C.J. Fedorowicz actually looked pretty good.
Solid. If you're actually desperate for a tight end, I would kill for Fedorowicz in a couple of leagues.
I would have thought that Ryan Griffin would have been the guy that they would have gone with, but it was C.J. Fedorowicz.
They still seem to split though somewhat. Yeah. It's not. It's a weird situation.
The best throw I ever saw Osweiler make was on that Fedorowicz touchdown. Best throw of his life. So kudos to him on that, but he's got to do it consistently. And as far as the Broncos wide receivers are concerned,
it's all about Simeon.
DT and Sanders.
Simeon looked terrible last week. Didn't look good at all.
Nope.
Maybe he still hurt.
Also made him throw it 50 times.
It wasn't good in the first throw. he missed I think everything went downhill. He missed Emmanuel Sanders, who was wide open for that touchdown. Wide open down the sideline. Missed him by 10 yards.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much a sign of things to come. Maybe he wasn't ready. Had the shoulder injury. Maybe he wasn't ready to play. Maybe he was on his mind. It's been 10 days later. I expect him to be better.
Remember the interview before that game? They asked him if he was good to go. And he said, I'm good.
What's he going
to
say? No.
He said, I'm good enough.
Coach put me in. I can't play.
He said, I'm good enough, though. Yeah. He was basically admitting, like, I'm not all the way back. We knew that.
He wasn't healed, but it wasn't his throwing shoulder.
Yeah.
But those interviews to me were a waste of time.
Right.
What are they going to say? Really? I guess every now and then you get lucky.
Yeah, got a little bit there.
Says something,
got a little bit there. He admitted he wasn't all the way back. So,
Houston is banked up in the secondary. Maybe he can take advantage of it. Thomas and Sanders are going to start for me. But if you want me to tell you there's going to be big things happening
here.
It's
the reason I avoided these guys this year in drafts.
Yeah, because
I'm worried about this.
You have to be worried about this. Anytime there's I'll say it over and over again. Anytime there's a quarterback change, you need to be worried.
Yeah.
It doesn't always pick up. You know, some guys will come out of nowhere. Brian Hoyer has always been, wherever he goes, he throws the ball. Yes, there doesn't seem to be that big a change. But there are other guys who don't. You don't afford a reason. When a backup comes in, doesn't mean the backup almost always plays with third string, second string guys. It doesn't work with the first team guys. Doesn't have any chemistry with the first string guys.
Yeah.
So you see that over and over again, especially what happened in Chicago. Hoyer came in. Meredith all of a sudden was great.
Yeah.
Jeffrey, an afterthought.
Dak Prescott, Cole Beasley have a little something going
on,
right?
Right, because they work together. Dak's a little different. He worked a lot in camp.
Yes.
But I'm saying there's always these little favoritisms.
Guys feel like they're on the same page.
If you're a quarterback, who are you going to throw the ball to? Who you feel comfortable throwing the ball to?
Yes.
You know what his speed is, know where he's going to be.
Especially inexperienced guys like this.
Right.
And unfortunately, the DeAndre Hopkins thing, 9 for 71, that's not what we want to see. We want to see
compared
what we used
to see. Having earlier in the year, I'll take 9 for 7.
I totally agree with that, but we want to see 9 for 150 in two scores. But listen, folks, I don't think we're going to see a lot of that
Vegas
this year.
Can't be choosers right now.
Yeah, Osweiler missed somebody.
That's why
in
I'm
the
losing to you in
so
the
Joe's
vs.
Pros
League.
Yeah, so we will continue to see how Osweiler develops and Semien develops. It's a matchup of it's kind of an interesting game on the schedule from all the dynamics that are going into this. We'll see if the quarterbacks can actually pull it off. Maybe we'll see these guys battle for 300-yard games. But in any event, that's a little bit there. We'll break down a couple of more games before we head to the top of the hour with College Game Day. It's Mike and George on Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Mike and George on Roto Experts in the Morning here for our final segment of the day before we hand it off to Joe Lisi and Rich Sherminello on College Game Day. Couple of tweets sent our way. I'll throw it over to Pete to read the first one.
So this one's from Frank Burkhart. It's a two-part question. He says, please help. Bortles or Stafford? Then the second part is Shepard, Graham, Forte, or Blount. He's already dressing Edelman and Brandon Marshall.
All right, so it's Bortles or Stafford. This is close to me. Coin toss. I don't think you can go wrong either way here. I think they're both going to have good, solid games. I'm going to go with Bortles here, though. Against the Raiders, I really can't pass that up.
And I'm going Stafford there, actually.
I don't mind either one, but I'm going Stafford only has the two receivers. Yeah. Well, three. The rest of the team, no running game. I guess you could say
they just can't run.
Bortles. But,
they both can't run.
They're both similar. I have no problem either way here. The second one was Shepard, Graham, Forte, Blount.
Yes.
Graham. Flex play?
Doesn't say. Probably.
PPR league?
Doesn't say.
Okay, so we got to assume standard with that. Take Shepard out. He's out of there. Forte, no, I haven't seen much from him. Blount or Graham? I'm going Blount. I love that New England matchup. I think 40 points coming on the board. Seattle's going to be more of a... more of a slugfest there. If this is a PPR league, I could be convinced to go to Graham because I think he catches 6-7 balls.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. We also got a tweet from Sean Lochran. Sean Lochran is a high school friend of mine. I've known the guy for 25 years.
You have friends?
Just a few. He's one of them. He's one of the few. And he tweets at us, where are Gillisley this week? And the rest of the season. I think rest of the season is easy. You want to stick with Ware because we don't know.
That's an easy call.
McCoy's injury isn't going to be really a long-term one. So this week, Ware over Gillisley?
Yes. This is not even a run with Clope.
Well, what if McCoy's out? Don't you like Gillisley a decent amount?
Why are we thinking Gillisley is going to be the second coming of God?
Everyone's just run the ball so much.
This guy up.
The markets.
I can't run the ball in that system.
They're running.
Are you going to do well? You get 100 yards.
Gillisley has been good in limited circumstances, and they run the ball a ton.
Revenge game. Gillisley be great because he hates Miami because they got rid of him.
Another factor. All right, so there it is. Sean, you got your answer, buddy. That would be Ware on both. Ware this week, Ware for the rest of the season. So I do like both guys. If you can get them both in your lineup tomorrow, assuming McCoy is out.
Gillisley's a start for me, but I think people are going a little overboard that he's going to have because McCoy did great. McCoy is great.
Rest of the season, I think if you're a McCoy owner, you hang on to Gillisley. And then if McCoy wrestles the job back, you have to make your decisions on Gillisley then, depending on whether or not you need that roster spot. So good stuff there. Feel free to keep firing away on Twitter at FNTSY Radio or at Mike Blewett or at George Kurtz, and we'll answer those questions. Just a couple of more games. We can rifle through these. We just talked Bills Dolphins. It's at home. Ryan Tannehill. I heard an interview the other day where somebody said they were breaking down every throw. This guy from, I think he's from Bleacher Report, he's breaking down every throw every quarterback was making. And he said that Ryan Tannehill really isn't all that bad. That Ryan Tannehill is just having offensive line issues.
Right. It's always somebody else.
He also didn't say anything negative about any quarterback.
He's not awful. I mean, he's not the worst quarterback on the planet, but he's an average NFL quarterback at best. He's never made that next step. I mean, you can say what you want about him. Mike Wallace could never hit the deep ball with him. You watch that film. That's a lot of it's not on Tannehill. Wallace was open, couldn't get the ball there. Parker's having the same issues. Mm-hmm. His value is being trumpeted because he can't get the ball to him down the field. Absolutely, the offensive line has problems. And they don't give him time. We saw that last week. The offensive line's healthy. First time all year. all of a sudden Najee rushed for 200 yards. It will certainly help, but we need to see Tannehill make, take that next step.
What do you think of Jay Ajayi? Is just a one-week wonder, or do you think he's somebody to consider?
Well, he's not getting 200 yards again, right? Yeah, yeah. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, I just wonder if he's, you know, if does he? You feel like he's going to have this starting job now until he has a bad game, gives it up? And is this the week where he has the bad game against the Bills?
I think it's a bad game. I don't think it has anything to do with Ajayi, whether you believe him or not. I don't think it has anything to do with this week. But I'm not feeling big things here. Tough Buffalo defense, and Buffalo's playing very well. Yep. So I'm certainly worried about it. So I don't think it's going to be a great game from him here. As far as the rest of the season, Arian Foster is still there. Ajayi was not drafted by this regime, so there's no loyalty there.
Yeah.
So I think he has to keep proving it week in, week out. Not much leash here. Not much, you know, not a big leash for him here. I like him. You know, to me, I have him as a flex. Scott, I know he has him as a low-end running back, too, so we're only off by a couple of spots there. Yeah. I don't love the guy, but I don't mind him either. He's probably a start, though. Can he do better? Maybe not in running backs in this day and age.
Yeah, so Tyrod Taylor, good start, I think, this week. People like him in DFS. I think with McCoy's uncertainty, you're going to have Gillislee in there. You have Robert Woods is out. They basically have no receiving options anymore. You know?
It's Charles Clay. It's Clay and good luck.
Marquise Goodwin and Greg Salas.
One thing about Gillislee, if you want opportunity, he's going to get the ball a lot.
That's right.
You know, I think this game's going to be once again a slugfest. You know, there's not many points scored on the board tomorrow. Really, I'm not seeing many points at all scored in this game. That's one thing I do like about Gillislee. I think 20-plus touches is
coming. I'm not a huge Tyrod Taylor fan. I always feel like he's solid, but some people really love to use him in DFS contests, and people like his upside in certain weeks. I think tomorrow is the day that he can really get it done. So I think I'll actually
put him in
some DFS lineups.
He's going to have to use his legs.
Colts at Titans. Is this going to be a turnover fest?
Well, you hope not. You look at the Titans, I'm on the Mariota bandwagon. Okay, I'm on it. I think he's going to do well. I think he's going to be a top 10.
Just for this week or going forward?
Going forward. He's a top 10 quarterback for me going forward. He's been that way for the last 3 weeks anyway.
Wow. And that's so bold. I give you that. That's pretty bold.
I think he's finally turned the corner there. The only thing that worries about me, man, I wish he had a receiver to throw to. You know, I know Kendall Wright's had a sort of a revival. Rashad Matthews has been okay.
I had Kendall Wright on my bench last week. Like, why would I think to play him?
Yeah, who would have played him? Come on. You know, there's some issues. DeMarco Murray's been fantastic. I mean, he's catching the ball left and right, too. So Mario's looking for him out of the backfield.
You think he's the number one running back this week? DeMarco?
Yeah. Right? Le'Veon Bell, I think he has an opportunity, but it'll be tough. Like New England's with Belichick's going to look to take him out of the game. Ezekiel Elliott's off. David Johnson got a rough matchup in Seattle. Yeah, I think DeMarco probably is.
I don't think that's much of a stretch. DeMarco might see as many touches as anybody tomorrow.
Indianapolis can be run on. They can be passed on. They can't stop anybody.
Right.
And Mariota gives you that threat of running out of the backfield. They'll play the run zone. So, I'm going to think DeMarco is the number one running back this week.
Big week for luck to Hilton.
Who else are you going to throw to? Right. Dorsett's out.
That's right.
Allen's out.
Yep.
You know, if I'm Tennessee, you're looking to do all you can. To take Hilton out of the game.
Chester Rogers an option there?
Chester Rogers, you have to be really deep. Yep. Deeper than 12.
Yeah. But, I mean, he's the number two passing option there. Frank Gore game? You like Frank Gore here?
Not against that defense. Yeah. I think they'll try to establish the run. You always do, but I'm not expecting much here. You probably have to start him once again. Maybe you're deeper than I am. You can get away with it. I can't. But I'm not expecting much here. I think, once again, Gore's going to be one of those running backs you need a touchdown from to make your day.
Yeah, Browns at Bengals. Cincinnati's a 10-point favorite in this game. You know, I think
you're starting Green. I prefer Geo over Hill. Dalton's fine if you have Cam or you had Dak and you want to start him over it. Fine.
I would highlight Jeremy Hill's really cheap
Anything.
Right. Yeah.
He's starting Eifert if he plays.
No.
Me either. I think Eifert's a wait and see guy. Let him play once.
I have Tyler Eifert and I am benching him for Hunter Henry no matter what.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect correlation there. I think it's somebody you want to watch and see play for a week.
I have to see. I mean, he's had two different injuries he's coming back from. I'm not
starting Pryor even tomorrow.
And like, you're not going to look like a genius. You're just taking a guess at Tyler Eifert. If it works out, great. I hope it does. But, you know, I'm not playing him over legitimate options like Hunter Henry and some other guys. So that's it, folks. A couple games we didn't get a chance to talk about by design. Ravens-Jets. That's not a fun game. Brandon Marshall will be legit tomorrow.
Marshall, I can think about Forte and PPR. They've got a dump off there. Geno's a no. Noon was a no.
Bucks
Flacco should play.
Bucks Diners. You got nothing there. You got Jameis.
Kaepernick, low end.
Quiz Rogers.
High floor for a quarterback.
Colin Kaepernick.
Mike,
all right, folks. It's good stuff. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tweeting at us. We appreciate it. We'll be back next week. It's Mike and George on Road Experts in the Morning. Coming up in a couple of minutes, it's College Game Day with Joe Lisi and Rich Chiarmonello. They'll take you through all of the FBS matchups today. Thanks, folks. Have a good week.